Notice verse number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, for first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch as we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be froward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and of the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Now the Apostle Paul, as I mentioned last week, is writing to the church at Corinth, urging them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 to make up an offering, to take up an offering to send to a cause that was outside of their local church. This offering was to be sent to those that needs that did not concern the immediate church. It was specifically for another group of believers. And we use the model that we find here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 for what we call faith promise giving. It is not some new concept that we thought about. It is as old as the Bible. And here we find a group of believers who, by the way, were instructed just as the churches of Macedonia. So the church of Corinth was not the only church that was involved in giving such an offering. The churches of Macedonia were commended because the Bible says here they gave out of their deep poverty for those believers at Jerusalem. Notice in verse number 7, we read this in chapter 8, verse 7, the Bible says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Now, this grace here speaks of this particular offering that was given. Throughout the next two chapters, chapter 8, chapter 9, you find the word grace used in reference to this offering, to this giving. In verse 9, again, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Now we know this grace is Him giving Himself. The word grace speaks of Christ giving His life for us. Notice in verse number 19 of the same chapter, "And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace." Again, this grace is the gift that was basically taken up by the church, and so they were traveling with this grace. That's the gift, again, that was given by the churches of Macedonia, and that was also supposed to be given by the churches at church at Corinth, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. So the word grace speaks of the offering that he received. In these chapters, Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, "I want you to give a good offering for a cause that is outside of your own church. Look at the churches of Macedonia, how they gave, and I want you to be like them." And so we've looked at some of the truths communicated in chapter number 9, but I want to go through chapter number 8 and consider a few truths concerning this gift that was supposed to be given. Now understand, the believers at Jerusalem were under intense persecution. They were in great need. And remember that when the persecution happened, a lot of the believers that were in Jerusalem had been scattered abroad. And you remember specifically that the Bible says that those that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. And so in other words, the believers in Jerusalem were forced through the persecution to evangelize outside of Jerusalem, and then churches all over were started because of that persecution. And now the believers, who are basically the recipients, so they are enjoying having been changed by the gospel, but that happened at the expense of the persecution of the believers in Jerusalem. And so here the whole idea is that there is an offering that is being collected for the need of the believers in Jerusalem. And we looked at some principles in chapter number 9 that they were commanded to prepare an offering, to pray about an offering. This offering was an offering from the heart. It's not their tithe. It was something that was outside of the church to meet that need. And someone was going to come and collect that gift and then deliver that gift to provide for the needs of others. Now, I want to notice several things in chapter number 8. I believe they will help us to have a proper mindset as we think about this giving to missionaries, this giving outside the church. So the principle, understand, the church didn't gather today in the same way as far as we for faith promise to support foreign missionaries. But the principles they used for giving was for a need outside their church. And we use the same model found in these two chapters to give to missionaries, to support missionaries who go around the world and preach the gospel. Remember that our responsibility as a local church is to be witnesses both. That means at the same time, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. At the same time, that's our responsibility. And one of the ways we can fulfill that is to pray, to give, to support missionaries, to go with them through our giving. I want you to notice there's a bunch of points here, and so if you want to write those down, I'll mention those very quickly, and we'll move our way through chapter number 8. I want you to notice, first of all, the participants in this gift. Notice verse number 2 of chapter 8, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. We note the seeming contradiction of terms. Did you notice them? There's the word affliction, and then there's the word joy. There's the word poverty, And then there's the word liberality. Now, those seem to be contradictory, do they not? They were afflicted, but they were happy. They were in poverty, but they gave very generously. That seems to not go together, but that's who was involved in giving. Paul said that the churches of Macedonia were in great affliction, but they had an abundance of joy, which shows us, by the way, we should just take that, this is apart from faith promise, but the Christian's joy is not dependent on circumstances. It is dependent upon the Lord, and the Lord is unchanging. The Lord is always a sure foundation. But yet, the churches here, in their affliction, had an abundance of joy. Their cup was running over. The churches of Macedonia were in deep poverty, yet they gave, the Bible says, liberally. Who should participate in faith promise giving? Well, we established that last week. Everybody should participate. Now, I want you to think, because we often think about giving, I think we tend to think in big amounts. But I want you to think about, you remember we looked at the example when Jesus Christ was standing by the treasury, and people, rich people, were coming and dropping their gifts into the treasury, and then there was a poor widow that came and dropped in two mites, which was insignificant compared to the gift of others. And Jesus Christ says, she's given more. Why? Because she gave all she had. So the principle here is we cannot think of amount. We think about anything. God can take anything and use it for His glory. Just as He did with a young man who brought the bread and the fish, and God multiplied. God used something small and He multiplied it, and so does He do with our gifts. And so we see here that everybody is supposed to be involved in giving. He said, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I can only give 50 cents a week or 10 cents a week. That's wonderful. If that's what the Lord's done on your heart, and if that's what you can do, that's a wonderful thing. You see, we sometimes make excuses by giving reason why we cannot be involved in certain things. These believers gave in this affliction and in their deep poverty. When it comes to giving, people are often, too often more concerned about an amount than they are about an attitude. And we have to be more concerned about the attitude than we have to be about the amount. Our attitude in giving is more important than the amount we give. You remember what God says? The Bible says the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. You know what that means? He doesn't like a non-cheerful giver. If He loves the ones that give cheerfully, and we talked about when we give, it should not be, well, I guess everybody expects me to give. Then don't give, if that's the attitude. And so we should see our giving as an opportunity we have to give and to be involved in the work of the Lord. So we notice, first of all, the participants. But also, secondly, we notice, the power. Verse 3, the Bible says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Now, the word power speaks of their ability. Right? In other words, it is something that you have the ability to do. It is within your... I think sometimes, you know, my children, they see me carry something heavy. And then they say, oh, I can... Leland, he comes, he runs around and says, oh, I can carry that. And then he picks up something. He wants to help carrying the groceries. And I got the water, you know, the 40 water packs. And then he starts, you know, oh. And he can't... It's not within his power to do. That means it's not within his ability to do. He doesn't have the ability to do that yet. He will soon, but it is within my power to do it. You see, there are three ways that people give. Some people give below their power. Some people give according to their power, and some give beyond their power. Here the Bible says, to their power I bear record, and beyond their power. Why? Because it seemed that this was not the group, if you looked at all the churches, the churches of Macedonia was not the group that you would have thought would be giving. Why? Because they were in affliction and deep poverty. So you would have think that the Apostle Paul would have said, well, let's skip the churches of Macedonia. Let's go to some other churches like the church of Corinth that was probably a wealthy church, and so let's just skip over the churches of Macedonia. And the testimony of the Apostle Paul is they gave beyond their power. In other words, when they heard what the believers of Macedonia did, they thought to themselves, they gave what? How much? Are you sure? It seemed beyond their power. An illustration of below our power, in the year 1983, a statistic was published when there were about 20 million Baptists in North America. That particular year, 20 million Baptists had given approximately $200 million to foreign missions. Now, when you look at $200 million, it seems like an enormous sum of money. However, when we divide that by 20 million Baptists, we only come up with $10 per person per year for foreign missions. $10 per person per year for missions. Now, this is America. And I know that we are the most blessed country in the world, but I think that that would be below our power. You see, this is the equivalent of about 20 cents per Baptist per week for missions. Now, we know that there are certainly Baptists that are poor. It's not like Baptists are all rich, all right? But we understand if you average things out, it seems there is a lack of faith, a lack of a desire to give to the Lord for missions, for the work that God has called the local church to do. I believe that generally speaking, it is far below our power. Notice they gave according to their power. In other words, some give according to their power. They gave according to their ability. In other words, they looked at their budget. They come to certain conclusions, and then they give according to the ability they have to meet that need. And by the way, that's a reasonable thing to do, by the way. You should never say, you know what, I'm going to give $500 a week to missions, and then your budget is $500 a week. Okay? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go in debt. You shouldn't put your gift to missions on a credit card. That is not according to their power. If all you use is credit cards, that's not according to your power. Okay. But then also, beyond their power, this is when faith is involved. And I believe that as believers, that's where we individually have to seek the direction of the Lord. You see, we talk about faith, we know the definition of faith, we preach about faith, but the more important thing in our lives is to practice faith. These Macedonian believers gave by faith. In other words, some of the believers, certainly many believers gave according to their power, but some believers gave beyond their power. In other words, some of them looked at perhaps their budget and they thought to themselves, well, the Lord's laid this on my heart, and out of obedience to Him, I want to give this amount. It seems to be beyond my power. But we know in the next chapter that the Bible says that God will supply all your need according to His riches in glory. We are not speaking again of doing something irrational. We are speaking about obeying God by faith. Have you ever done something that perhaps you didn't see how it would work out, but it ended up working out? You stepped out by faith, and God was faithful. So we find here the participants, the power, but also the purpose. Notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, praying with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The word entreaty here means that the churches of Macedonia begged Paul to take their offering so that they could be participants in caring for the saints. You get the picture? Sometimes we think, man, Paul must have showed up to this poor church of Macedonia and he must have kind of twisted their arm and then kind of convinced them to give while they were going through affliction and while they were in deep poverty. That's not how it went. Paul went there and the Bible says they gave with much entreaty. That means they were begging Paul to take their gift. I think that Paul knew that they were in deep poverty. He knew that they were in affliction. And when they gave, Paul says that looks like it was beyond their power. He thought to themselves, I can't take this. But they entreated him. They said, no, we want to participate in this. We want to be involved in this because they understand the purpose of this gift. You see, faith promise giving is for the express purpose of sharing the gospel of Christ with over 6 billion people around the world. That's the purpose of faith promise giving. In order for missionaries to go around the world and preach the gospel to every creature, a lot of people must give. When we give to Faith Promise, offering week by week, we are participating in preaching the gospel around the world. Why? Because your giving gives the opportunity for a missionary to purchase a plane ticket and go to, let's say, the Odyssey, go to the deep jungles of Papua New Guinea and preach to the gospel to the people there who've never heard the gospel, who've never even seen a Bible. And when you give, that's what you're giving to. And when you give, you're preaching the gospel. You've enabled that missionary to go and preach the gospel in Papua New Guinea. And so we find that that was the purpose. And by the way, we should be, our attitude should be like the Macedonians. Right? It's not that Paul was there, oh, please, please give. It was like, oh no, I can't take this. No, please take this. I want to have a part in the work of God in the world. I want to be involved. We notice another thing, and that is the prerequisite. Notice verse number 5. The Bible says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Paul testifies that before they gave a gift, they gave themselves. That's what the Bible says. Why do people not give of their means to the work of the Lord? I believe the answer is very simple. Because they've not given themselves to the Lord. You see, when we understand in the as we live by faith and as Christians, everything we have belongs to God. You remember, we are stewards. That is our life on earth. We are stewards. Everything we possess, God has entrusted us with these things. Why? How do we know that? Because when we die, we take nothing with us. The cars, the money, the bank account, the house, it's staying behind. That stewardship is going to be passed to somebody else. And so what God is interested in when we think about giving is, oh, it's all about money. No, it's not even about money. It's about us. Have we given ourselves to the Lord? Now, God, when we do that, God calls some to go to the foreign field. But God calls others to pray and give. You see, everybody is involved. And so we find that the prerequisite is that we give ourselves to God. And so before we come to a missions conference next week, our hearts should be, Lord, I'm giving myself to You. I simply want to do Your will. I want to follow Your direction. The prerequisite for faith promise giving is the giving of ourselves to God. Until we give ourselves to God, we are not ready or nor very apt to give our means to God. When we truly give ourselves to the Lord, then He has everything we possess. What does God want more than anything else? More than anything else, God wants you. You know, we say, well, God doesn't want your money. That's true. He wants you. Why? Because when you present yourself to Him, the money that is yours now belongs to the Lord. That's the prerequisite. We also notice in verse number 6, the persuasion. Notice verse 6. Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now the word grace here, as I mentioned earlier, is used for the offering to be given to Titus. Okay? Titus would be the one who would be communicating this grace, this gift. Titus presented the burden before the church at Corinth, and he encouraged them to give. Missionaries really do the same thing today, do they not? They come to church. They travel from church to church. It is not just about the prayers. And I know that's what they all say, right? Well, we don't really want your money. We really want your prayers. But they need the money, okay? I know that's the spiritual thing to say, but the truth is they can't go without the money. Money does not fall from the trees, right? Missionaries really do the same that Titus did as he went and presented this burden. It is not just about prayers. They also need the financial wherewithal to do the work of God. And so here the Bible says, "Inasmuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." So there would be steps along the way, and it seems that Corinth would be one of the last stops of the churches that would be involved in this giving. We also see number six, the proof. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, that and to prove the sincerity of your love." You see, this offering is not a commandment. You get that? It's not a commandment for believers. As a matter of fact, this was a particular gift for the believers, the work of God in Jerusalem. Intense persecution. Remember earlier, the church had been scattered about because of the Jewish persecution in Jerusalem. They needed help. In other words, the gospel was being preached and people were persecuted, imprisoned, they were silenced, they were beaten, as Paul had often been. I mean, the Jews were so angry with Paul when he traveled from city to city. On one occasion, the Jews would follow Paul when he would go to another city. And so we find that the believers in Jerusalem, the work of God was being affected. And at that time, if you were a Jew, you were became a believer in Jesus Christ, your family would disown you. They would hold a funeral for you. And they would never speak to you again. Most of them would have family-owned businesses and work with family. They would no longer have a way to have an income. And so they were going through this intense persecution and this deep poverty. But understand here, this was not a commandment. In other words, you see, Paul doesn't, and Titus probably didn't come and say, "Okay, God commands you to do this." That's not what it was. How was it? There's this need. And if the Lord impresses on your heart to give, would you give? That's the way it was. It was not a commandment to observe. This offering was not a commandment, but a voluntary or a free will offering. We do not present this offering as a commandment, but rather as a worthy cause. Let me ask you this. Is there any greater cause to give to or to spend money on than the cause of missions? I mean, we could start asking questions, right? How many times you stop at Wawa, get your coffee, or your Starbucks, or everybody's got their, right, subs at Wawa for lunch, and all those things. And we ask ourselves, the question is, what is there something that is has greater value to give to? Paul is not speaking about giving here to the local church, but giving to this need that is outside of the local church. This giving is not a command, but it does, as he says here, prove the sincerity of your love. You see, many families have forsaken the ease of America to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in difficult circumstances. We have not been asked to make that sacrifice, but we should be grateful to still have the opportunity to be involved in spreading the gospel, should we not? In other words, if we think about the scenario, we have the opportunity to still live in the greatest country in the world with the freedoms that we enjoy. We learned that with all this pandemic and heard about how some of our missionaries overseas fare and how the government conducts things overseas. And so we are in a privileged position. But understand, there are people who are willing to say, "God, if you call me to go to a people who I don't know, to leave my family behind, to leave the comforts and the ease of the United States of America and go to another land and to sacrifice and to give our life for this land, and then those who stay behind, who do not make that same sacrifice, have the opportunity to be involved in the same work and to receive fruit from their labors, I think that's a worthy cause." Because many have left. And we get to not have to make that sacrifice, but yet we can make a sacrifice here that doesn't cost as nearly as the sacrifice that they make to spread the gospel. We also notice verse number 9, the passion. I'm trying to work quickly through this. Verse number 9, notice 4, Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. I always love when the Apostle Paul does that. Brings Christ into the picture. But that's always the best thing to do, isn't it? Now, we could talk about man all we want, but when we bring Christ into the picture, that brings a good perspective because we're supposed to be like Christ. And here he makes it clear, he brings Christ into the picture. When we consider the passion of our Lord, we become compelled here to give ourselves and all that we have for His cause. Jesus had everything, yet He became poor. Christ received my poverty that I might receive His riches. He sacrificed His riches, became poor, so that me in my poverty might be made rich. You see, that's the passion. That's what it's all about. And, you know, we say when Missions Conference comes around, I know we've delayed it a few months, but if every year Missions Conference come around, it's like, oh, we got to deal again with missions. I think you've lost a sense of your love for Christ and where Christ brought you from and what Christ did for you. And if we think a couple dollars giving to missions a week, if that's what the Lord tells us to do, that is a deep sacrifice, and we have it all wrong. We see the passion, but we also see the performance. Verse number 10, the Bible says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be froward a year ago." You see, Paul urged the church at Corinth to do what they had promised to do. He reminded them that a year ago they had made a promise, they had made a commitment, and now he urges them to keep that promise. Our commitment should not only be an emotional commitment, but a commitment based on prayer and a trust in God. We should always perform that which we have promised to the Lord. That's why we do this every year as a church. At Missions Conference, we'll bring in missionaries, and we'll have the missionaries missionaries to India. The Pratts will be joining us. We have the missionaries to China who are going to be joining us, and their names are in the bulletin. I'm not going to say their name because all that, it goes online, and you cannot look them up online because they have to remain private because of the persecution of China. But the point is, we understand that this commitment that was supposed to be made was, notice again, a year in advance, and they were going to come and collect that giving that they had promised and they had made for the believers who were persecuted in Jerusalem. But I want you to notice one more thing here in the notes, and that is the proportion. Notice verse number 12 of chapter 8, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12 and 13. Notice the Bible says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, and that there may be equality." You see, Paul told the church at Corinth that God does not expect from them that which they do not have. You see that? God did not expect something from them that they did not have. You know, often the attitude would be, well, if only I made more money, I could give more. It's not about that. What are you giving now? Remember, it's not the amount. It's the proportion. Are we aware that someone could give 50 cents a week and proportionately that would be greater than someone who would give $100 a week based upon what they have? Why? Because it's a proportion. God did not expect them here to give as these believers were persecuted at Jerusalem. He says, I don't expect you to give something that you do not have. Paul was saying, I do not want you to give to the extent that you are hurting and others are eased. I don't want that to be. In verse number 14, notice, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. You see, if others are burdened and you are eased, then you should share in their burden. If others are at ease and you are burdened, then they should share in your burden. Not everyone can give the same amount, but everyone can make an equal sacrifice. You see, proportionate giving has always been God's plan of giving. We must develop a proper philosophy of giving. Too many people approach giving in this way. How much of my money should I give to the work of the Lord? You get that? How much of my money should I give to the work of the Lord? However, the proper thinking should be this. How much of God's money should I keep for myself? That's a different question. We are stewards of what God has entrusted us with. The Bible says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so as we come next week to our missions conference, we did a lesson last week on faith promise, and again this morning, preparing our hearts for the missions conference starting next Sunday, and we're going to be making a commitment as to how much we're going to give a week through next April. Our missions conference is supposed to be April, and so we'll make our commitment from now all the way through April, and we'll make a commitment every week to give to missionaries. We'll have the Pratts with us, by the way, which we already support, and missionaries to China who will be joining us, and we'll, Lord willing, have the ability to take them on for support and support the work of China. Now, there's a wonderful work going on there. They're on the border of North Korea and China. I mean, that's a great need. And his burden is actually for North Korea as well. Well, who's going to go? Are you? They're already there. And we have an opportunity through our giving, through our praying, as we'll hear them present their burden, to be able to give. God, my burden you to say, well, I believe the Lord wants me to give a dollar a week. And that's wonderful. Some can do more. Some may not be able to do a whole lot. But God, I believe, can use you to do something. The churches of Macedonia, the Bible says, gave in their affliction and in their deep poverty. And so next Sunday, everybody's going to receive a card making a commitment. And again, remember, it's not a commandment, it's a voluntary offering. Nobody has to give. But we have an opportunity through this giving to take part. I want you to go with me to Philippians. In Philippians, the church at Philippi, Paul commends them for their giving. And I want you to notice what he tells these believers. And I want you to notice in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 15. Paul writes and he says this. He says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see what Paul says? Wonderful words. He says, I don't desire a gift. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When we read the update from a missionary in Papua New Guinea, and we read of a soul getting saved, and we read about the Bible translation work, and we read of all the activity that is going on there, and we pray for them, understand, the fruit abounds to our account. If we pray, if we give, we are able to take part in that work. You see, really, missions and missions giving and missions praying for missionaries. It's not just us saying, all right, y'all do a great job, we'll see you later. It's us going with them. We go with them in our prayers. We go with them in our giving. We are all involved in the work of the Lord. And so may the Lord help us to have that perspective. We'll talk about this next Sunday, and we'll continue to pray. And what we'll do is we'll be accepting those commitments starting next Sunday and running through Wednesday evening and the next few weeks subsequent to that. And we praise the Lord. We're also going to be, because we have a big surplus in our faith promise giving, and we're going to be able to see if there's some specific needs that we can help with missionaries and church planters to help them as they do the work of the Lord. God blesses us not for us to hoard the blessings of God. God blesses us so we can bless others. That's what He told Abraham, remember? I will bless thee. And then He says, and in thee all nations of the earth shall be blessed. God doesn't bless us for our sakes. He blesses us for the sake of His work. He blesses us so that He can be honored and glorified with the things that He has entrusted us with in our lives. And so may we make that a matter of prayer, and the Lord will help us to do His will.